We're going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets in many ways and in various ways, varying times. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became so much superior to the angels, as the name he inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you, I am your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels worship him." And speaking of angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire." But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, will set you above your companions by the anointing with you of the oil of joy." He also says in the beginning, "The Lord laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of his hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you will remain the same, and your years will never end." It's an amazing passage of scripture. And opens with this beautiful sort of illustration of who Jesus is, being the exact representation, the fullness of all, the Godhead, all the expression of what God is like is in Jesus. And when Hugh was speaking the other day, he was saying the revelation of our understanding of God. When you look in the face of Jesus, then you get a better understanding of what he's like, because Jesus represents exactly what God is. His life. And he speaks about him, God, Jesus, laying the foundation of the world, all right? And all things existed because of him, and through him, the universe was made. Now, I want you to help me a little bit tonight, because I'm going to ask you to help me, because what I want to do is an amazing picture here of Jesus, of who he is. He stands outside he will never grow old, it says, you know. He's not going to go old. He's going to be the same today and forever. And it shows that actually he was in the laying of the foundation of the universe, and he also is going to wind it up. He'll wind it up like a cloth. So it's him that we fellowship with and relate to. Now, here's where you're going to help me. In late January, I've got a whole week to teach in Scargill. And when I agreed to do it, it seemed a long time away. And now it's coming up pretty fast. And it's a whole week on maybe may I never lose the wonder. And a lot of it is to do with actually being creative and celebrating. But I've got a couple of questions for you to help me with. And I'm going to try and get Sue to do some homework. I'm going to give you some pencils. You don't have to do it all tonight. And if you get any ideas that will help me for this week that is coming up fairly soon, I'll be really pleased. All right. And I wanted, first of all, just to break this into two. One is to look at thanking God, you know, for creation. We sang it right at the very beginning, didn't we? 1,000,000,000,000 stars were just spoken into existence when God spoke it. And we celebrate a natural, ordinary world. And sometimes we can just forget about all that and take it all for granted. I remember when I was 16, I went hitchhiked to Scotland. I had a great week. Hitchhiked to Scotland, came back with as much money as I went. Don't know how I did that. But and I remember the first time going up to Scotland, going around some bends of the road. This guy picked us up kindly. And it was the first time I'd really seen the Lake District. I remember these lakes kind of being almost peeled back. And I thought, this is fantastic. And I've had a love for the lakes ever since. So I would like you to think of anything that has been like as spectacular that encounter, and make a note of it and give me the details, because that's important. Also, when I was growing up, I've got a little poem I want to read about the gift of birth. But we had lots of animals. We had loads of dogs, which were crazy. But we were always having dogs that had large litters of puppies, 10, 11, sometimes even more. And I remember watching them being born as a kid and just thinking that was amazing. We had that many of them. We used to line them up in the back garden and race them. But this is not necessarily written by a Christian, but it just shows the wonder and the power of birth that makes us, you know, just become aware of the wonder of creation. That night they knew that the foal would be born. They went down, she and he, with all the day done, the summer in heat and the night sky still, a blue like the shallows of the white shell cove, and the bats about them with prattling wings. They went down, the quiet easy between them, till suddenly the whole moon broke from the hilltop, scarred and shining. They stopped to watch, faces filled as the moon rose up like some balloon and held there in the silent skies. Only then did they go on, to the hollow where the pear trees grew, and the scent rose sweet. There before them the mare and foal, he the foal staggered to his feet, the strangeness of those stilts, and she mothering him, tender, slow, her eyes full of him, giving and giving of her tongue to bring him complete to this world, to this life. And the girl and the man knelt down, for this was bigger than they understood. It's not as a Christian, but it's a praise to creation. And I was also reading a book which it's about a Catholic lady who struggled with the kind of scientific views of the universe, and it's almost like, you know, the whole Darwin thing and all this. I don't know whatever you make of all that, but it's almost had robbed her from that whole aspect of God being the creator that she worshipped and knew. So here's the first thing. I'm going to give you three questions, and I'll shout when your time's up like the Bake Off. But if I give you these, can you break into like groups of three or four and just chat amongst yourselves and see how these questions, because what we want to do is we do not want to lose the wonder. And when you look at the wonder of creation, natural creation, you know, the stars, we're going to put up some of those pictures and images as you do in the questions. And then we'll come back and just do a second part. I'm going to get Pete to come up and we'll talk a bit about another wonderful thing, which is God incarnate amongst us. All right. So if somebody could give all these out, there's two pages each. So I'd like you to take that paper away. You will not have exhausted those first three questions. And when I'm around next January, early next year, I want your answers. I want as much help as possible, because we all do celebrate. Let's just have maybe two testimonies of some time when nature was absolutely amazing to them. Is there anybody who's got a question? One of them? Have you? Anybody got a story of John?
The song of the nightingale, which I've heard twice, not up here because we don't get them, but once heard, it is unforgettable. I've heard it twice in Suffolk, many years ago.
Amazing that, John. We don't get them in Liverpool.
I think you can get overwhelmed, but it is a wonderful overwhelming, because I, a long time ago, got a bunch of roses, and as they opened up, each one was different, and then I looked at flowers differently, and you can look at thousands of flowers and you'll never find two the same. And that's what God does.
One more.
Sometimes Red Car Beach can be beautiful if it's still and warm The tide's almost in, the sun's shining, and all the seagulls are just bouncing up and down gently on the water. It's lovely. Very Sometimes nice. That happens.
Yeah. Pete, do you want to come join? So we've got three more questions, but that's more to do with the incarnation. And I just wanted to read this from 1 Timothy, and Pete's going to then answer some questions. Paul's just saying to Timothy, if I'm delayed, I've written these things so you can conduct yourself as God's household, which is the church of the living God, which is who you are, the pillar and the foundation of truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He, Jesus, appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached amongst the nations, was believed in the world, and was taken up to glory. So, Pete, I know the...
Christians. Hi, Ken.
I know the wonder of the incarnation and, you know, the celebration, the wonder of Christmas as well. But sometimes do you think that the, you know, the depiction of Christmas as we get it, do you think it enhances or sometimes detracts from the incarnation?
I hadn't heard these questions before, by the way, so... that's a good question. We have pictures, like we've got that crib over there. It's beautiful. I love cribs. I like that story of Christmas, but I don't believe in that story of Christmas. Don't get me wrong. I've been thinking, the things like, it's a mystery. It's a mystery, and if we ever figure it out, then I think we must have got it wrong in some way. And it's a bit like, Anne, what you were saying about, you look at a rose, if you keep looking at it, you see more and more and more and more and more. And I think the incarnation should and must do that. We look at it more, and it should ask more questions of us. And the thing that I've been thinking of more recently is just how ordinary, in one sense, it was. You know, Jesus was born probably in a family home rather than a stable. All the modern translators have caught up with that and, you know, taken out this inn and no room at the inn. And actually, he was born in a family home. There's no spare room, so Jesus was born in the main room where the cattle were and the manger was. And there's just something wonderful about the ordinariness of Jesus coming into the world amongst his family. The idea of Mary, 8.5 months pregnant, walking into Bethlehem and everyone going, nah. I mean, it wouldn't happen in Middlesbrough and it wouldn't happen in Bethlehem with her family there. The idea of Jesus being born amongst his family, amongst people, causes me to wonder and be amazed.
So a bit controversial there, do you not think?
I don't know if it's controversial, do you not think?
Actually, there's a book, isn't it, by Kenneth Bailey, is it?
Kenneth Bailey, he's written most, all the parables, you know, like the old man and the prodigal son sort of running down the road, how an old man in those days, would, you know, that's all his kind of work of understanding the cultural context, and Kenneth Bailey's done a lot of work on this, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So there isn't more... difficult question for you. Was the incarnation of Jesus, so he took on human flesh, was it just a thin disguise, finding himself in the appearance of man, or is something far more profound going on?
Yeah, I mean, that verse is, that's an easy question, isn't it? That verse is an interesting one, that found in appearance of man. I don't think there's wrong ways to look at this. I think, but how about we look at it from the other end of the lens? We can sometimes look at Jesus as though he was God, but just clothed as a man, a bit like Superman. You know, when you see Clark Kent, he's kind of got his suit on, but underneath, that's what we really want to find out. Not the Clark Kent, but the Superman underneath it all. And that quest to find the God in the man is a great quest, an important one. What about trying to understand the human man, Jesus, blood, guts, flesh, bone, tears, sweat, and all of that? And that again, maybe brings us back to the ordinariness of it all. And I guess sometimes in my thinking, I've taken that further, that maybe Jesus was here as well to show us what God is like, but to show us what truly human, being human, is. It's interesting, I was thinking about this today. Everyone tried to keep calling him the Son of God, and he kept telling people, no, I'm the Son of Man. And I wonder, well, that's probably very deliberate with Jesus. He said, no, I'm a man. I'm the son of all of you. I'm the firstborn over this creation, and fully man. It's easy to get wrapped up in the God in Christ Jesus, but the man who lived among us and loved among us and was perfectly at home among us brings it back to sort of God in the ordinary, yeah. God in the here and now.
Just tell him quickly then this little story of you. This is nothing necessarily to do, but it was a story of God being written into our ordinariness, you know, that we were created in the image of God. But didn't you go to the petrol station just recently? And you?
We bought a Christmas tree on Saturday. It's a big one. You know, at Stewart's Park, yeah. at the back there. There's a lovely guy, Yorkshireman. He said about three words, so he didn't give a lot away. But he had the most incredible face, just weathered. You know those faces that have just been weathered for over the years? And it was the most beautiful face, hard and rugged and just creased and tanned from being outside. And it just caught me by surprise, seriously. Like, and I stood and just looked at his face. And then the question is, maybe I'm looking into the face of God here. Understand this in terms of where Paul goes. You know, Paul says, you know, like, all things are for Christ and held together by Christ. And one in Colossians, he says, you know, there's neither Greek or Gentile or Jew or slave or free, but Christ is for all and Christ is in all. There's this sense of where Christ is going to consume everything. And that's happening now. And I want, you know, being made in the image of God, I looked at this old man selling me a Christmas tree and I thought, I'm looking at you, Jesus. I'm not getting that this guy was Jesus. I'm not sort of going crazy like that. But if you stop and think, actually in the now with people, when we see a newborn or a new person, someone we've never met before, or someone we've met 110,000 times before, and stop, a bit like Anne with that rose, of just look again. And what do you see? I think we see something of God's amazing fingerprints.
Thank you. Somebody just spoke to me before I came here, just saying that, that's fine, that they used to love the light. That was one thing about celebrating, but you can't actually see it. But they were, as the light streamed through a window, you know, sometimes you can see all the dust, can't you? Do you know what I mean? You don't want to, but you can. And it just spoke to him that actually maybe that reflection through us is just another way that I can actually see something. You know, we see through a glass darkly, but there's a live God, the living God. And so now, just very quickly, because I know we've got to move on, but just try and answer the question on the next page together. And this is an important one, because this is where I need most feedback.